Well, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and I shared with you about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that as Christians we have a wonderful gift that lives inside of us, and the book of Acts says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as I was saying last week, the Holy Spirit is the experienced, empowering, personal presence of the living God. Isn't that awesome? It's the experienced, empowering, personal presence of the living God. And what could be greater than experiencing the power of the living God in our lives every day? Isn't that awesome? Now, there are a variety of ways that the Holy Spirit works in and through us, right? And one of those ways is by empowering God's people with spiritual gifts. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on this morning, are the gifts of the Spirit. Now, when we say that someone has a gift, it means that they have some type of special ability. Now, some people we know are gifted athletes, some are gifted in music, some are gifted in art. For example, you can think of Rembrandt, a 17th century Dutch painter. He was best known for his use of light and darkness. But did you know that this famous painter was also visually impaired? After studying 36 self-portraits, experts believe that it's probable that the painter suffered from an eye condition where one of his eyes is misaligned and points towards the outside of his face. And what's fascinating is that this disability may have contributed to Rembrandt's success, because the loss of depth perception created by his eye condition, Rembrandt was able to have an advantage in the task of translating three-dimensional images and scenes into two-dimensional paintings. And so it's ironic to think that the weakness in his vision may have actually enhanced his artistic gift. Now, stories of people overcoming disabilities or weaknesses to go on to achieve great things, those are inspiring stories. And it's through these kinds of adversities that people often discover their giftings. Now, in a similar way, we may feel that our human weaknesses mean that we could never accomplish anything for God. But in spite of our weaknesses, we all have a gift, or gifts, a gift that makes it possible for us to rise above our human weaknesses and to achieve wonderful things for God's kingdom and for His glory. Of course, the gifts I'm talking about are the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And we all have the potential to exercise these supernatural gifts of the Spirit. So look at what Paul says here to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. He says, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as means of helping the entire church. Now, I want you to notice that last verse, verse 7. It says a spiritual gift is given to each of us, all of us, as a means of helping the entire church. Now, here in this verse, in this text, we find some basic understanding about spiritual gifts. First of all these gifts are from the Spirit. They aren't just natural human abilities. Someone can work at developing skills. They can work really hard at developing a good singing voice. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a spiritual gift. But these gifts are gifts from the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Now, second, we see that the gifts of the Spirit are available to every believer. Now, some may be shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, I guess God blesses others, but not me. But you know, if you take that kind of an attitude, then you may walk away without ever realizing that spiritual potential that's just waiting to be discovered and released in your life. The Bible says a spiritual gift is given to each one of us. But one of the most important things we need to see here and note is that it's not about you, it's not about us, it's not about me. Spiritual gifts are for the benefit of the body of Christ. They are for the church. They're for helping each other. Paul says God has given us spiritual gifts as a means of helping the entire church. So the church needs spiritual gifts, and we need each other using our spiritual gifts. And we might feel that we have no gift to offer, but the Bible tells us that our gifts, the whatever gift God has given you, is essential for building up the kingdom of God. Just imagine how unhealthy the church will be if we don't recognize our place in the body of Christ. Or how much more vibrant God's church is when his people learn to serve one another using the gifts of the Spirit. Now, as we read through the New Testament, we'll find several different gifts that are mentioned. And there are basically four different lists found in different texts, four different spots in the New Testament. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's Romans chapter 12, there's Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you were to count the gifts that are listed there in these scripture passages, there are about 20 or so giftings, different possibilities. There are overlap with different gifts lists there. So there's about 20 or so possibilities. It's more like us to consider the variety of gifts that are mentioned here that are available to us. But even as I do that, let me just say that we shouldn't limit the number of spiritual gifts to just what's listed here in these four scripture references. It's most likely that these gifts that are mentioned here were meant to serve as examples of different ways the Holy Spirit enables people to serve. And there may be other ways that are not listed here in these scriptures that the Holy Spirit still uses people. Now, to back up that statement, I'm going to draw upon the wisdom of New Testament professor, Dr. Andrew Gabriel, who wrote on page 30 of his new fantastic book, Simply Spirit-Filled, these wise words. He says, these are some of the ways the Spirit can be at work among us, but not all. So rather than only ask, what are your spiritual gifts? You might also ask, what are the ways the Spirit uses you? So thanks, Dr. Gabriel, for those wise words this morning. So in other words, it's very possible that the Holy Spirit is empowering you and using you in ways that aren't listed here in these four scripture references, because the Holy Spirit uses us in many, many different ways. But for the sake of study and preaching, I'm going to look at these gifts by breaking them down into three categories. And I want you to understand that these are man-made categories. The Bible doesn't actually put the gifts of the Spirit into these categories. Bible teachers and preachers do this for the sake of presentation and for teaching and preaching. And I'm telling you this so that you won't be tempted to think that one category of gifts are more important than other giftings. They're all the gifts of the same Spirit, all right? Okay, so let's look at the first, at the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these include gifts such as the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, speaking a language that one has not learned, or speaking in tongues, or the interpretation of that tongue or that language, and words of prophecy. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 11, it says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to the other, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so these gifts are manifestations of the Spirit that we could not create on our own. They are something that the Holy Spirit does through us. And Paul says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives these gifts to each of us as he chooses. He is sovereign in this. Now, for example, one day maybe you're at work and someone may confide in you that they received a bad report from their doctor, and you may feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask if you can pray for this person. And as you do pray for them, maybe God's Spirit gives you the gift of healing for that person, and they're healed. Or maybe you're talking with a friend about some of her struggles, and immediately you realize that she has suffered abuse from a step-parent, even though she's never told you ever that she had a step-parent. This unexplained information has come to you through the supernatural gift of the word of knowledge. And these types of manifestations of God's power are from the Holy Spirit. And as you make yourself available to the work of the Holy Spirit, he may release his gifts to you as he sovereignly chooses in order to bring a solution or a healing or a miracle for a certain time, a certain place, for the glory of God. Now, under this category also is what we call the gifts of utterance. These include the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecies. And these gifts of utterance are often present in church during the worship service as we worship together. And we have experienced those gifts of utterance here at our church from time to time. In our church, we recognize that these gifts are still available to the church today, and they are meant to be a blessing in our church services. Now, a few years ago, and I was counting back, it's actually almost 9 years ago, I think. Boy, time goes by fast. But a few years ago, the leadership team here at Westside discussed the use of utterance gifts and how we can establish a biblical and positive environment for their use here in our services at our church. And after we studied the scriptural teaching and we also looked at what other POC churches were doing, we prayerfully considered the issue and agreed to a policy which we have followed ever since. And if you have a bulletin, and if you were to look inside your bulletin, you'll find that policy listed here on the inside of the bulletin, and it says the title, Operation of the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And under that title, you'll find this paragraph. It says, we value the exercise of the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as laid out in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. It is our desire that the gifts operate among us according to the scriptural instructions. They need to be in order. They need to operate in love for this church. And they need to be weighed so as to be a source of help and strength for our church. If you sense that the Lord may want to use you to speak to the congregation, please contact one of the pastors before the service or speak with one of the pastors sitting in the front row during the service. Let me just break this down for you a little bit to explain this policy, as we haven't really talked about it for about 9 years. It's been in the bulletin, but we haven't really discussed it much. The statement says that we need these utterance gifts need to be in order. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 39 and 40 say, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. And so the scriptural teaching here is clear that the operation of utterance gifts in the worship service are to be done in an appropriate and orderly way. And that's the reason for this policy. Next, it says that they need to operate in love for this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then in chapter 14, verse 3, it says, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And then in verse 12, it says, and the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. And so the scriptural teaching shows us that the purpose for prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and to comfort. And therefore, only words that encourage, strengthen, or comfort the church will be shared in our worship services. Next, it says that they need to be weighed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, it says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 21, it tells us, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. The scripture clearly teaches us that all prophecy must be weighed or evaluated to see if it is from God, and if so, then we need to consider what God is saying to us so we can respond. And we need to understand that all prophetic words, of course, need to line up with the teaching of Scripture. That's essential. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17 say, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. I'd like also to read from Thomas Holcroft's book on the Holy Spirit, a Pentecostal interpretation. He says this, because the gift of prophecy operates through imperfect human vessels, it is fallible and limited and must always be subjected to evaluation from outside of itself. God's order in the church age is that the authority of the written scripture must stand above any other revelation including the gift of prophecy. Primarily, prophecy is a gift to sharpen, illumine, and energize the already revealed truth of Scripture for their forceful presentation. And so utterance gifts, they need to be in order. They need to be encouragement to the church. They need to be scriptural. And they need to be weighed so that they can be responded to. Which leads us to the next sentence in our policy. It says, if you sense that the Lord may want to use you to speak to the congregation, please contact one of the pastors before the service or speak with one of the pastors sitting in the front row during the service. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 31 to 33 tell us, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So again, the scriptural teaching shows us that when a person receives a word from the Holy Spirit, the person is still in control of his or her tongue, and all things can be done in order. The reason we want you to share the word with the pastor first is because we feel it is wise and serves the needs of the church best if prophetic words are weighed before they're shared publicly. Now, let me give you a couple of reasons why we feel that this is best to weigh the prophetic word before to share it publicly. First of all, it gives greater confidence to the person presenting the word. You see, there may be times when you feel the Holy Spirit is impressing something upon you, but you're not sure whether or not you should share it with the church. And if you feel unsure, then the pastor can assist you in determining whether or not that should be shared in the service. And if he chooses not to share it, there's no need to be embarrassed because no harm has been done. If he chooses not to share it, that's okay. The pastors are here to guide you and help you grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it gives greater confidence to those in the service who are hearing the word that's being presented. When people hear a word being shared in the service, then they know that it has been weighed and it is considered to be beneficial for all of us. Thirdly, it also encourages people who are more conservative or even timid to use their spiritual gifts. See, if you believe that you're receiving a word from the Lord, but you're not comfortable in getting up in front of the church and speaking in front of the church, you can write it down. You can write it down, you can give it to one of the pastors, and they can read it out for everyone after it's been weighed. And fourthly, it creates order and harmony in a service. Prophetic words will be shared when the pastor feels best and when it best fits into the service. And it is possible that the pastor may wait and not share that word in the current service, but maybe at a later time. And the fifth reason is that it's always better to prevent a problem than it is to try to fix one. And we want Westside to be a safe place for all of our people, and we also want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit grow and thrive here. We feel that by following this protocol of the gifts of utterance, that this will be accomplished. Now, the question is often asked, what about messages and tongues and interpretation? How do we deal with that? Let me say that if you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to share a message in tongues or interpretation, you can do so. Okay, you can do so. But in the same way as prophecies, they need to be in order. They need to operate in love for this church, and they will be weighed by the leaders of this church as well. Because as I said, we want Westside to be a safe place for all of our people, and we want to see the gifts of the Spirit used and grow and thrive here. And so these gifts, the working of miracles, gifts of healing and the utterance gifts, these are manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit gives to whom he chooses when he chooses for his divine purposes. Now, we're going to look at two other categories of gifts, but I'm not going to spend as much time on them as I did the utterance gifts. But that doesn't mean that they aren't as important, because they are. Now, as we look at the other list, we'll see that there is some overlap with the lists, with the different gifts that are listed. And in Romans chapter 12, there's another list of gifts. And these I'm going to call gifts that are resident in the believer. These are what we call motivational gifts, resident in the believer. And this list I'm going to look at is from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And Paul tells us God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, some may ask, well, surely these are just natural gifts, just individual characteristic traits. How can these be gifts of the Spirit? Well, some of them are natural, maybe, or individual characteristic traits, but when we give them the whole to God, they become supernaturally charged. Sometimes they come out because the Holy Spirit brings them out of us. Now, these gifts, when motivated by the Spirit, by the Spirit's leading and coaching, can become powerful tools for everyday life and for ministry. Picture this. You're at a dinner party, okay? And the hostess brings out a beautiful chocolate mousse cake. She stumbles over the rug and drops it on the floor. And the cake spills everywhere, makes a big mess. And some people would just gasp, oh, no. But if you, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, might stir up their motivational gift and make a difference. For instance, the server might say, well, let me grab a towel and I'll clean that up for you. The encourager might say, that was such a beautiful cake. Thanks for going to all that trouble for us. And the person with the gift of giving might say, listen, I'll be back in a moment. I'm just going to go to the bakery and pick something up for us. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in our motivational gifts. And all of us have motivational spiritual gifts. And so let's step out in faith and use them and develop them. Because without them, most of the ministries would never happen if we didn't use our motivational gifts. These are important gifts because they're the ones that really get the job done. Next, we're going to move on to the last list of spiritual gifts in Ephesians 4, and they are the ministry gifts resident in the body. The other ones were the motivational gifts resident in the individual. These are the ministry gifts resident in the body or the church. This is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, Paul lists five God-given gifts or ministries with a very specific function to build up the church. And these gifts include the ministry of apostles, which means once you're sent out on a mission, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And these ministries are gifts that God has placed directly in the body of Christ, in the church, for the purpose of mobilizing the team to get everyone into the game and succeed. For example, every football team has a head coach, but working under that head coach are specialized assistant coaches, like an offensive coach, a defensive coach, a quarterback coach, and a special teams coach. And just like each team has several coaches under the head coach, God has given these ministries, these ministry gifts, to the body to motivate and equip members to be effective in the church. Those who are called to minister in one of these five ministry gifts are to equip God's people to do his work. Now, these ministry gifts don't necessarily require an ordination or a theological degree. Not that that hurts, that's all good. But these are the gifts that all kinds of spirit-filled people who have been gifted and called by God are equipped to use to get the job done. For example, when, say, a nice retired church lady gives leadership to caring for people in the church, she has a pastoral gift. Maybe there's a person in the church who's good at coordinating an alpha course and has a passion for that and leads people to Christ through it. They have an evangelistic gift, even though they've never been on TV or preached at crusades. Sometimes we let those words, you know, apostle, prophet, and evangelists intimidate us, and we don't think that those gifts could possibly refer to ordinary people in the church, but they do. And God gave these ministry gifts to the church to build it up, and so we need to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit through these five ministry gifts. Now, how about you? How about discovering your potential here? And many of us may wonder, what potential do we really have for being used by God? And we may secretly think, you know, I can work a skill saw, or I can play the piano, or I can build a website, but I'm not sure if I can operate a spiritual gift. You may feel that God can, maybe he can use others, but You don't feel like he can use you. But listen to this list of people that God used. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. And Timothy was timid. That's quite a variety of misfits that God used, and he used each of them in his service. And no matter your weaknesses, God will use you too. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who releases all the potential that we have that's locked inside of us. We may feel that our human weaknesses mean that we can never accomplish anything for God. But in spite of our weaknesses, he has given us all a gift that makes it possible for us to rise above our human weaknesses and achieve wonderful things for God's kingdom and his first glory. We make ourselves available to God. Anything can happen. It's not about us. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us with supernatural gifts for his divine purposes. We just need to be willing servants. We need to be willing to walk in faith and to exercise these gifts to serve one another, the ones that the Holy Spirit gives us. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you to open yourself up to the empowering and leading of the Holy Spirit and experience what God can do through you. Think of the awesome potential of a church where everyone serves others through the use of their spiritual gift. And that can be Westside Church if we all work together and if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for how you empower us, Lord, to overcome even our disabilities and weaknesses, that you use us mightily with the gifts that you give us for the edification of the church and for your glory. Lord, thank you that all of us have purpose and usefulness. And Lord, help us to walk in faith and to experience that as we surrender ourselves to the work of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for each member of this church and each role that they play as they engage in service, as they discover the different ways that you are using them, ways that aren't even listed in these texts. Lord, we appreciate them. We appreciate their willingness to serve, and we thank you for the empowerment of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.